Okay, well, I'd like to welcome everybody to our World Peace Diet Circle, and it's just great to have you all with us here on Thursday, July 19th, 2012. Steve Prusak is obviously normally with us, but his wedding is coming up soon, and he was not able to be with us tonight because of that, but it's great to have you all here, and I'd like to go ahead and just begin, because I know there may be some of you who have never been on this call before. So the basic idea typically is we gather for the World Peace Diet Circle on the third Thursday of every month, and it's really a time for you to make comments or to ask questions. So in order to do that at any time, just press *2 on your phone, and when you do that, I will see it here on the screen. I'll see it'll kind of show me a phone number and all that, and I'll see your hand is raised. It's called raising your hand. And the idea is to give you the opportunity to interact with me and perhaps with each other as well. So it's not necessary, but if you do have any questions or comments, some of you are contemplating taking the World Peace Diet Mastery Program or Facilitator Training. Some of you are actually in it. Some of you maybe have already taken it, one or both of those. And, of course, as part of that, you may have comments or questions, or you may have comments and questions just in general about your own ability to thrive as a vegan or to be effective in spreading the message or to know what to do in certain situations or just to understand the issues more clearly. And, of course, one of the things that I feel, and I've mentioned this before, is that I try not necessarily to answer questions myself personally very often. I mean, some questions I think can be answered, but in many ways I think it's a good idea to respond to questions without necessarily answering them, because very often an answer, especially if it's the kind of answer that sort of is final, it'll tend to stop the questioning process, which is perhaps the most valuable thing happening in our lives, is to be actually asking questions about things, and that's what makes us go deeper in our understanding. So I know for me it's been questioning the underlying assumptions of my culture and of food and everything else that has helped me to dig deeper into all of this. So we can share insights, and I think there's nothing more beneficial and powerful anyone can do than to make a sincere effort to understand and to authentically share these ideas with our friends and neighbors and colleagues and family members and whoever might show an interest in this. So let's just begin our time taking just a moment to feel into why we're on the call, to remember that we are part of a society that is in many ways in a degree of chaos right now, that there's a lot of environmental devastation happening in rainforests and oceans and rivers, and a lot of animal suffering, obviously, to wildlife, to the so-called domesticated animals, dogs and cats, as well as animals killed for food, and a lot of disease and suffering to human beings. There's also obviously a lot of beauty in this world and a lot of celebration and joy and giving and love and compassion as well. And the purpose, from my point of view, of us gathering on this call is to deepen our understanding of how we can help our culture in the most meaningful possible way to make a transition away from the way of being that we've inherited. It's essentially, I think, this outmoded violence that really gets its main traction in our society through the killing of so many millions of animals every single day for food. And to help us realize the interconnectedness of this, the ramifications of this, and to help us more easily articulate all of this and to work together, really, to help create contexts to spread this message into our society, because I have a sense of urgency about this that I think a lot of you do as well, that which I think is healthy, you know, the sense that this earth is precious, it's being really attacked by this practice of eating animal foods, the ecosystems, the genetic diversity, the climate stability, are just on every level, our health, our mental health, spiritual health, ethical health, all of these things. And so I think the most healthy thing we can do is to, first of all, move as far as we can all the way to a compassionate lifestyle, eating the plant-based foods, not taking out our wallet and paying for entertainment that causes cruelty to animals, or clothing or products that cause cruelty to animals, or drugs that are tested on animals, or anything as much as possible that causes cruelty to other living beings, both animals and human beings, to try to do the best we can. And I think the word vegan is really a modern iteration of this principle of ahimsa, or nonviolence, of striving to live our lives as expressions of kindness and respect and mercy for others and understanding, and also to be a force for world peace, as Mahatma Gandhi and many others have expressed it so well, that, you know, my life is my message, this idea that to live our lives as messages of peace. So let's just take a moment before we actually begin our time together this evening and just feel our connection with this beautiful earth, the amazing abundance of life here, the billions and billions of beings celebrating their lives here, from the huge whales and the oceans and the elephants and giraffes and gorillas and all the large mammals, and all the way down through all the birds and reptiles and amphibians and all the insects and all the fish and animals of the water and the plants, the bushes, the trees, the whole sub-microscopic realm of life as well. I mean, it all works together, doesn't it? It's a symphony, and that we human beings have a purpose. So just feeling our connection to the celebration of life, that we're here really for a relatively brief period, and contrary to what we're taught, we're not just here to get something for ourselves, that's one way of looking at it, I guess. But I think we know perhaps at a deeper level that we're here to find our unique way of contributing to the healing of our world. So let's just give thanks. That's what I'd like to do anyway. Just give thanks for this precious opportunity of a human life, and for all of the circumstances that arise in our daily lives that help us to question the programming that perhaps is within us, and to give thanks for all of our brothers and sisters who are working hard also to question the programming, to live lives of kindness and compassion, to create organizations and structures that bring sanity and peace and healing and love into the world, and to just see this activity growing and developing and interconnecting and touching more and more people, and that together we are creating a field of consciousness and behavior that reflects the love that we have in our hearts, not only for those close to us, but for all living beings. That this is really the fundamental sanity of being a human being today on our earth. So thank you all again. I know if you're on this call, you've come through a doorway, that you found a key within your consciousness to really question the underlying assumptions of our culture in such a way that you've made a commitment to let your life be a message, and that you're actively looking for ways to be effective in your life being a message. And I think joy and the capacity that we have for creativity and being articulate and whatever way comes to us, you know, that we all have our own way of being articulate, of expressing our feelings and our understandings. And it may be through the internet, or it may just be through gestures, or through words, or through telephone calls, or through teachings, or through art, or through music, or, you know, there's so many ways through creating legal structures. There's so many ways that we can express our understanding and to help others. There's so many beings that need, that are calling, I think, really, and need our help with this. I'm actually at a place right now called the Peace Abbey in Massachusetts, which is, to me, a wonderful expression of this yearning. Just a few people, I'm just sitting here for about a week and a half or so, but just a few people who have galvanized around them because of the intensity of their commitment to peace and justice and freedom, a whole huge community of supporters, and it's just wonderful to see this place and the museum and the awards that they give and the projects that they support and so much great work happening. Just one of many examples of how one person or just a small group of people makes a huge difference. So, as you all know, welcome to the call. And as you all know, we've just finished up Veganpalooza 2012, which, as you probably heard us say, was the largest vegan event ever in history in terms of a gathering of vegans together to promote an understanding of veganism, to share that. And it's done through the internet. We were gathered together listening to over 30 interviews with some of the more well-known public authors and speakers in the movement, and having access to the recordings of this and transcripts and so forth, and to help spread this out into our culture. And so there's been quite a few issues that have come up, things that we've learned. I think a lot of people have felt inspired. I know I have. Just listening to everyone, it was like creating a whole field of consciousness dedicated to the truth that our physical health, our spiritual health, our environmental health, our cultural health, our emotional health are all intimately connected to moving toward veganism in our lives and to embracing it at a deeper and deeper level. And it was great to hear how so many people came to actual veganism from only being concerned about their health, physical health in the beginning, and then realizing after they stopped eating animal foods, they were much more open to the idea of looking at the suffering to animals and actually broadening their compassion to include animals and actually broadening their motivation to become actually vegans. And other people came to the movement not really caring about their health, specifically only caring about the animals and reducing suffering to animals or reducing the violence to the environment, and were willing to let their health suffer on behalf of a good cause, and found that actually just the opposite happened, and they had more energy and felt better than ever. And I think that's the typical response that does happen. People do feel better, obviously, on a plant-based diet. It's what really we're designed for, although there may be obstacles to that in terms of the medical establishment and perhaps our understanding of how to eat a healthy vegan diet. So we are always open to talking about that, understanding that more in depth, and also to understanding the ways that we can spread the vegan message. So as we're going along here, anyone has any comments or questions about Veganpalooza for me, please feel free to press *2 on your phone and ask me. What I'd like to do, though, here is to go ahead now and introduce Mark Stroud. He's a guest of ours today on the call. And as you know, if you've been on the World Peace Diet Circle in past months, when we've had a call, very often Mark will come on for a few minutes and tell us some of the progress that's being made in the projects that he's involved with to help spread the vegan message. And so I wanted to sort of give a little more time to Mark tonight because there's quite a bit going on, actually, and I just think it's nice for us to sometimes do something on the monthly call that's in the family here, so to speak, without having someone from sort of outside the World Peace Diet Circle talking to us. I think that there's a place for that, and it's great. But I really think it's good to take time to discuss things among ourselves. And Mark is, as most of you know, probably not all of you, has been involved with the World Peace Diet almost since it first came out as a book I got a phone call from Mark way back, and I'm not sure when it was, but probably like 5 years ago when the book first came out. And he was really interested in this the message of the World Peace Diet and wanted to spread it in Cincinnati and had the idea of having a World Peace Diet study group through the Unity Church there. And he put that on. It was very successful. And he went on to do that, it's usually a 7-week class, and to do it over and over and over again and build a bigger and bigger foundation in the Unity Church in Cincinnati and draw more and more people into an understanding of the importance of veganism, especially from the World Peace Diet perspective of the big picture of our mistreatment of animals for food. And he partnered up also with Anna Ferguson, who's a yoga instructor and also a vegan in Cincinnati. And they've been now together been putting on World Peace Diet study groups, meetings at the yoga studio in Cincinnati now for several years. And this has really been enormously successful, actually. I mean, they're practically turning people away. They have so many people registering sometimes. They really have a excellent response. And out of this momentum that they've built simply by teaching the principles in the World Peace Diet and the principles of vegan living and how they connect to spirituality, how they connect to yoga and the underlying teachings of yoga, and also helping people learn how to cook and create healthy vegan foods, because Mark is actually a great vegan chef and a restaurateur as well. I think in many ways what Mark's been able to do is kind of create a model that it would be so great if we could have a bunch of little Mark Strouds around. I always think that and people, we all have our unique way of doing this, but people who would like to give classes, study groups in an area where you're living and just see where it flows, in your own unique way, because it's been wonderful to see that this blossoming and attracting more and more energy. And out of that, I guess about 4 years ago now, a conference emerged, the World Peace and Yoga Jubilee. And that's now just a wonderful thing. It's actually a national level conference where people come from all over the country, and some people even come from other countries to attend the World Peace and Yoga Jubilee. It's really a conference based on merging and exploring the interface between veganism and spirituality and health. So, Mark, I've given you maybe too long of an introduction here. I'd like to go ahead and just let you say a little bit. I'd love to just ask you, if I can, if you'll talk a little bit about what's happening in the world of Mark Stroud and of the vegan work you're doing. I think there's some really exciting news. I told people about the mini grant series that is coming up, that is happening, and I think people are interested in that. Also, some of the other things. So, please tell us about the different projects, if you can. It'd be great. It's just so good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me here. It's great to be here with everyone, and thank you for your kindness. And there are a lot of great things happening, and it's just delightful to be a part of. I'm wondering where Anna is. Do you know if she's on the call and if she?
I don't see another Cincinnati number on right now, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Well, she may appear in the course.
Okay, I'll let you know if she does.
I'd love for her to bring some Anna Ferguson female energy to the circle.
Right.
she's definitely my main partner in peace with all of this. We don't really do anything without each other. So, you mentioned the Jubilee, and it's entering in its fourth year as a really national, international conference of peacemakers, and as you said, merging health and veganism and animal rights and particularly the spiritual aspect of really creating a new spirituality on the planet. And at one point we were saying, oh, well, we're creating a renaissance of spirituality, and then we realized that as far as we know in recorded history, there's never really been a spiritual period of time with the deepest empathy that we're looking at that, to create. So we feel that all of us here, everybody on this call, everybody involved with all of this movement, are really creating something that is new and has never been done before. So with that being said, as many projects that people are able to put forth, of course, we say the better. And so the World Peace and Yoga Jubilee is one of those that has sprung from that desire. And as I said, it's entering its fourth year. And one neat thing that is happening this year is that there are so many great speakers online at the Vegan Palooza, and we're having quite a few of those same speakers at the Jubilee. So this will be an opportunity to further one's connection with them after listening to them on Vegan Palooza, now to be able to rub shoulders with them, sit down and break bread with them in the dining room and get to know them better and to go a bit deeper. So I know Harold Brown is going to be at the Jubilee and will also be showing the new Peaceable Kingdom. So it'll be great to do a Q&A with Harold, and I'll watch the Peaceable Kingdom and do a Q&A with Harold. We feel that that's going to be a real fun educational experience at the Jubilee this year. The other thing that is happening is the debut of the Becoming the Peace, and the first part is Becoming the Peace, and then the second part, the Becoming the Peacemaker program, which is very much a self-empowerment program with the teachings of the World Peace Diet really at its core. And the first part is give people a real foundation to realize their own depth of power to make a difference in the world and to create this new spirituality. And then they might then choose to go on to the peacemaker part of the program, becoming the peacemaker, where they might decide to actually become a facilitator to present these programs all around the country. And those facilitators will actually be paid facilitators. It's a way that someone would get to travel and to have right livelihood. And that's been a common conversation I know on these calls of the circle is how can I, once I become aware of these things and I'd like to really make a difference, how am I able to make a living and to pursue the education and the spreading of the spirituality all at the same time. So we're creating this program with that in mind so that people will really have that opportunity to be involved in all of this work and make a living all at the same time. So we're really enthusiastic about that. And that's actually going to debut at the Jubilee this year. So those people who come to the Jubilee to hang out with Will and Madeline and attend the facilitator training, the Becoming the Peace program is actually going to be a bonus and will be part of the World Peace Diet facilitator training this year. So facilitator training will take place. The Jubilee is the 11th through the 14th. It's a four-day event with music and food and yoga and great speakers, as you all just heard. But as far as World Peace Diet Facilitator Training, that will take place with Madeline Will on Saturday, and then the Becoming the Peace program will on Friday, and then the Becoming the Peace program will be on Saturday, and then back again with Will and Madeline on Sunday to finish out the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training. So this year, with that bonus, people will really get go deep and wide and inside and out, upside and downside, and just have a complete intensive immersion in all of this and really be on the road to maybe make that decision to become a facilitator or to just take this deep empowerment that they have and to bring it into some other project or line of work that they or an endeavor that they feel is what they're called to do. So once again, that is happening in October, and people can go online and find out about it, worldpeaceyoga.com, and find everything they would like to know about the conference and the Becoming the Peace program as that comes to fruition. And associated with that Becoming the Peace program is a project that we're partnering with an organization that is making grants of $1,000. They're actually planning to make a grant each day of the year, so 365 days and 365 grants of $1,000 each. And those projects are to be projects that, once again, would further some of the ideas of spreading the word of the World Peace Diet and many different facets that it encompasses. I think that's one of the great things about the book, The World Peace Diet, is that it really touches all bases, you know, whether it's poverty, whether it's homelessness, trafficking of humans, just the ecology, the environment, really anything under the sun somehow will be affected by the understanding and the activism of what's in the World Peace Diet. So these grants of $1,000 will assist people in their endeavor to make a difference. And we will be having the information for the application process that will be announced. We'll get that out to people. It'll be on our website as well. And fill out the application. Some of those recipients will be announced before the Jubilee, and some of those recipients will be announced at the Jubilee. So we're really looking forward to that ceremony and to see people using those grants to get things started and to have some tools to really make a difference and to bring this new spirituality into the world. So, we're just delighted and of the generosity of the people that we're partnering with in that way. And it's just going to be a grand party. What can I say?
Yeah, so let me recap all this for people just briefly here. So you to make sure, I guess, I understand it correctly, and maybe everybody else maybe understands it correctly. So what you're talking about really is, you know, like three or four different things. But number one, of course, is the World Peace Yoga Jubilee, which is an annual conference. This is going to be, I think, the fourth year now. Am I right about that? It's the fourth one or the third one?
Yeah, this is the fourth year. Yes,
the fourth one already. Wow. Right. So it's going to be October 11th through 14th. And as Mark was saying, it's a place where Madeline and I put on the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training every year. And so this Becoming the Peace training is also going to be offered at the World Peace Yoga Jubilee, which is a similar training. It's different, though, because the Becoming the Peace project is actually a funded project that is aiming to spread the vegan message of the World Peace Diet. It won't call it specifically vegan or World Peace Diet, but it's basically that message to, as I understand it, to churches, through church groups and others, in a sort of an immersion process where people really go through different exercises and so forth to help awaken their understanding of what's happening to the earth and to animals and how they can make positive changes in the world. Similar to some of the other trainings, like the Pachamama Alliance has had a training, and other groups have had trainings that have really helped to motivate and to raise consciousness in large groups of people, especially progressive people. So that's this whole new thing that's just emerging. And I think what you were saying, Mark, is that for the Becoming the Peace program, it's going to need trainers or facilitators for that program. And since this is a funded program, there will be a possibility for people to actually, some people to actually do this work and get paid for it. You can always be a World Peace Act facilitator and do it as a sort of an entrepreneur in a sense. But this is something where you'd be actually part of a team. And so that's that. And then the other thing besides all that, the development of this Becoming the Peace program and the need for people to be Becoming the Peace facilitators, there's also this whole project of 365 $1,000 mini grants, which are going to people who have in mind some kind of project that will help promote veganism in some way, so either in your community or online or whatever you have. So if you can come up with a proposal to help fund work that you're already doing or that you would like to do, and you can submit that proposal, and some of these will be announced before and some of them will be announced during the World Peace Yoga Jubilee in October. So that's kind of what we're talking about. There's quite a lot here, and it's exciting, I think, to see all these things happening, as well as the ongoing work that's already wonderful, actually. So, Mark, did I do a pretty good job of summing that up, do you think, or did I leave anything out?
Yes, you did. I know it's a mouthful there. I will say that the Becoming the Peace Saturday event is a seven-hour event, so it's 3.5 hours in the morning of, as you said, exercises, watching videos, they're interactive exercises, discussion taking place, and then there'll be a break for a great vegan lunch, and then there'll be another 3.5 hours more of the same, and we feel that will really create a great foundation for people to understand a lot that's going on in the world within themselves, and that they might then take that to go a step further and actually become more of an activist, or as we say, a peacemaker. So,
hey,
I just want to go ahead.
Well, I was just going to tell you, Mark, Anna is on the line now. She just got on. So do you want to have her say anything now, or do you want to continue on?
Yeah, I would love to. I wanted to mention on a personal note that I'm celebrating my 40th year as a vegan this year. So,
really?
38 years as a vegan chef and 40 years as a vegan.
That's great. I didn't know you'd been a vegan 40 years this year. That's great. Well, I'd like to go ahead and maybe just quickly say a few words. Anna Ferguson is with us. She's I guess you're the founder, right, of the yoga studio in Cincinnati, which is doing such great work to help spread the vegan message. And I know, Anna, you're trained, highly trained, in yoga, and other forms of yoga as well. And so I'd just like to welcome you to the call. And Mark has been telling us all about the various events coming up. So it's good to have you with us.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah. So do you want to add anything to what Mark has been saying about the events that are coming up? It's, I know you're a big part of all of this. And so if you have anything you want to add, I know you probably don't, you may not know what he's been saying exactly. I'm not sure if you would be able to listen in or not. But
well, we're definitely enthusiastic about the Becoming the Peace program, which I heard Mark talking about, but also we've got a lot of amazing musicians coming this year as well. I'm not sure if he
we didn't talk about that.
Brought that up. Yeah, so we've got some great musicians and more chefs and cooking classes, and it's going to be a really amazing weekend.
Great.
Yeah, talk about the Anna. Why don't you talk about the music a little bit more? Some of the acts that are coming and their dedication to making a difference in the world, and kind of why we chose them, why they chose us to come for a specific reason. We didn't choose any heavy metal groups or anything like that. We had of course, if they were vegan, we might have, but
Right.
Well, you know, and you can chime in, Mark. Yeah, Donna DeLore, she sung on stage with Madonna for over a decade, and she will be doing kirtan, and she's a really amazing performer. She performed last year as well.
She was one of the featured performers at Bhakti Fest.
Okay. So she'll be there this year, and someone that's new, a new musician that's coming this year is Lucas Nelson and the Promise of the Reel, and that's Willie Nelson's son. And they have a real dedication to sustainability, and their drummer's a vegan, and their band is definitely moving in that direction. And then, of course, my sister, Amy Ferguson, Grandma Dirt, she'll be there, and she's really highly involved in the event as well. And who else do we have coming?
Alicia Witt is coming. And
Alicia Witt. Why don't you talk about Alicia?
She's actually a well-known actor in Hollywood, has acted with Tom Cruise and Vanilla Sky and Al Pacino in a movie, and some of the top-rated television shows, and she's a dedicated vegan, and she's also a musician. So her primary purpose for coming to the Jubilee this year is to perform her music, and so we're really looking forward to her coming. She was on board immediately, and she was working on a film with your sister, and they hit it off, and now she's coming to the Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Great. So we've got the and you also, I guess, might want to mention Nathan Runkle, who spoke. He's at Mercy for Animals. I think he's going to be speaking as well, right? And he was on the Vegan Palooza. He's going to be there, and I think
Harold
Jonathan
Brown.
Malcolm.
Did you mention
Jonathan Balcom too? Wow, great.
Yeah. We mentioned Harold Brown and Jonathan Balcom and Ray, and as you said,
Ray Sikora
and Victoria Moran.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. So we've got
John Pierre.
John Pierre will be there.
Is wonderful. Yeah, John Pierre is a personal trainer for Ellen DeGeneres, and he's a great vegan advocate, really doing amazing work in L.A. to help bring the vegan message. He's also the personal trainer for the fellow, I can't think of his name right now, who made the movie Earthlings, and so he's very much involved with health and nutrition and compassion and veganism, and I think you all remember probably Victoria Moran, who's written about 10 or 11 books, many of them on veganism, including Main Street Vegan, and Nathan Runkle, the founder of Mercy for Animals, is doing great work, as well as Jonathan Balcom. He's the animal ethologist, behaviorist, who's writing some of the most powerful books about the inner lives of animals, doing a lot of research. He's got a book coming out on the inner lives of fish, which I think is really exciting to help people have more compassion for those animals. So these are all, this is all great, I think, to see that the Jubilee is able to attract such talented people. Wonderful.
Yeah, Jonathan Balcom and John Pierre were on the Circle call not too long ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, they've been on. On this call, right? Both of them.
So I'm really looking forward to meeting them and get to hang out with them for a few days. So I invite everyone to join us because we're all going to have a big party.
Right. And Mark or Anna, I was wondering if there's anything you'd like to tell everyone on the call. Anything besides what you've just said, some pretty big blockbuster type things like these grants that are available, the training, this new training, all the Becoming the Peace training, which is going to start being unrolled, rolled out, I guess is the word for it, and going out across North America and maybe other places too. And we definitely would love to have people who are interested get involved with that. But if people, besides those things and the Jubilee, You know, that's another whole thing. Is there anything else that you could perhaps, because you have so much experience in helping to build vegan community, and one of the things that I think we realize that is so important for us as people who are advocates for compassion and for animals is the importance of building local vegan community. So I was wondering if you could talk to everyone a little bit about some of the things you've learned, maybe some tips you might have or guidance or ideas or anything to help people when we go back into our lives tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. What can we do perhaps that might be helpful? And what have you learned from all of that?
Well, Anna, would you like to go with that or?
Well, you can go first. It's fine.
Well, I'd say the most important thing is just finding ways to create community. That's really the heart and soul of what we've done. I mean, initially Anna had basically taught yoga at her home, and so our first potlucks in World Peace Diet we're really at our home, and we really opened up our home to people, and we still do that. Even though we have the studio, we have regular celebrations. We had a solstice celebration just the other day, and we had over 50 people that came to our home, and it was a vegan potluck. And so that's always kind of at the heart and soul of building community is great vegan food. And as we always say, or as I teach in my cooking classes, there are basically three parts to a recipe, and I call them the three P's. And especially for people transitioning to a vegan diet, there's a lot of times a lot of history and energy around family and changing because we don't want to upset the boat with our family, and they've taught us to eat a certain way, and it's almost as though we're going against them when we make changes. So the first P is procurement, and people feel really good about that because they realize that they can go out and buy the food and have a good stock pantry, and that's 30% of the recipe. They're already 30% of the way there, and all they've done is go out and buy things, so they feel empowered by that. The second would be actually preparing the food. And the third, which is so important, and why I brought this up, is the presentation. That when food is appealing and is presented in a beautiful way, then people are attracted to that, and they keep coming back for more. And that's one of the hallmarks of our potlucks. As a matter of fact, we've kind of even shifted from calling them potlucks. What are we calling them now, Anna?
Foodie shares,
because there's kind of a stigma around potlucks because they were first popularized in churches, and it's kind of like, you know, whatever your luck is what you get, and sometimes your luck isn't so good. So we kind of thought we'd take it to another level, but it's really so much the presentation, that bringing food that's in a nice dish rather than just a plastic Tupperware. And those are kind of some of the little details that we have found keep people coming back. So whenever we have an event, we just always include food as part of the event. And it's that age-old breaking bread together, and it creates a great bond with people. And I'd say that probably more than anything else is and just continuing to do things on a regular basis as well. So there's continuity and regularity. So we're just constantly finding some way to celebrate. We just got a book the other day which has holidays from all around the world. So whether it's Independence Day in Syria or Damascus or wherever, there's some kind of a holiday going on, and to create a theme around which we can all get together and eat vegan food.
So this Monday we're having a Jamaican-themed potluck.
Because it is the birthday of Haile Selassie, who is part of the Jamaican and Rastafarian culture. So.
Right.
I think creating events out of things and making it fun and different is really great.
Right. So basically, you said the three P's are purchasing, preparing, and presenting. Am I right about that? Special emphasis on the presenting.
On the presenting, yes.
Right. And then you said the other thing that really stood out was this idea of continuity. And I see that a lot in what you're doing. I see that quite a bit. You know, a lot of times people will put on like a World Peace Diet facilitator, group, a study group for 6 weeks or 2 months or something in their community, and it's great. And that right there is wonderful. But very often, for one reason or another, that it has a beginning, it has an ending, and it just sort of ends. And then I think what you've done that's quite different from that is you then did another one, a month later you did another one, and then a month later, you would do four, usually I think you did like four per year, so you had this continuity. People could tell their friends and say, well, there's going to be another one. I went to this study group, and it was really interesting. I learned so much, and you know what, there's going to be another one. I went to the one in the spring. There's going to be one in the summer. There's going to be one in the fall, and it's going to be, that idea. So it just spreads by word of mouth, and you have this rhythm that people can rely on, and I think that's very important for building community too, this idea that there's a certain can count on it. It's not just haphazard. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so, and as a matter of fact, we just had a meeting earlier today, and we're constantly looking at how we can reinvent ourselves in the study group so that it's not the same old, that there's something new happening. We now have a lot of videos that we're watching and discussions. So we typically, people will come, we'll say a little prayer, then we eat, and then we have different facilitators lead the group. It could be watching a video, like we just did a two-part series of Veducated, and so that gave us enough time to watch half of it and then eat food, have a discussion, and then the second part the same. One week we looked at slaveryfootprint.org and everyone got into groups, and we all took the survey together and then all came back and discussed it, and it's just always lively, and people have a good time, and as you said, they said something that they can count on. And then we kind of expand from that. That's always on a Monday, basically every 2 weeks. And we're now doing a once a month potluck on Sundays. So just in that series, besides the more personal events, those are three potlucks that people can count on a regular basis.
Oh, I see. Great. Yeah. All right. And actually, you live in a relatively spread out area too, right? I mean, people do, because I have a feeling some people think, well, where I live, it's not enough people. You found though that even in a relatively spread out area, you can create community. I mean, even though you're kind of out of town, you're sort of out there in the country, you still get people.
There. Yeah, I don't think that. The geography has that much to do with it. I think that people are looking for community, and they're looking for ways to connect. People are interested in the food. Once again, that's a key aspect of it. So we have, started out, 5 years ago, slowly, and we just continued to work at it and gain momentum, and now it's just a fixture. And of course, as I said, even though it is a fixture and that it happens on a regular basis, we also realize that it's important for us to be creative with the content because in the early days, a lot of what we did was go chapter by chapter with the book, and we probably did that, I don't know, at least three or four times. And so we still do that, but what we've done and what we've expanded on is that we've now added other authors, other videos, and different other forms of information, and to as an adjunct to maybe if we're talking about the domination of the feminine, and then we'll bring in a discussion about Carol Adams' book, and as a way for people to understand it from different points of view. And so we're constantly looking at new ways, and we include music in our live music and finding musicians that believe in what we believe in and have material. So there's just, in any community, there's always going to be a wealth of talent of people that are willing to participate and volunteer their time.
Right. So you don't have to make it happen. It's more like you create the space and invite people and think, miracles happen. Yeah, things show up, people show up, they get to express themselves. And, right.
Yes.
Well, I think that there's the consistency as and continuing to do it and not to be discouraged, because in the beginning, it's not like we had tons of people coming. I think that's important to mention. Like, it was the consistency of doing it time and time again that it slowly started to build. And if you have something and then you don't have it again and there's not any consistency and then you do it again months later, it's like you're starting from scratch every time you do it. But if you stick with it and make it consistent, it will continue to build each time.
Right. That's a very important point. Great. Well, I wonder, does anyone press star 2 if you have any questions, or you can also type them in on your computer as well if you have any questions either for me or for Mark and Anna and or Anna about what they've been saying. Really, I'm telling you, for me, listening to Mark and Anna, it's pure gold. These are people who are really not just sort of postulating and theorizing about what might work. I mean, these are people who have actually been in the trenches and finding out what doesn't work and what does work and are telling us. There's nothing more precious than this, I don't think. I mean, this is the real deal, and they're emphasizing the importance of creativity, of consistency and reliability, of food that, you know, we know food, how important food is, and helping people to get more confidence in preparing the food and presenting the food, enjoying the food, and just really, it sounds like, to me, it's another manifestation of dedication and love for people and for the cause and for animals, and showing up no matter what, even if you don't feel like it, but still showing up anyway. So I think it's so great, really, to hear what you're saying. There is somebody that has a hand up. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you from, looks like from North Carolina. Let's see here. Okay, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, Will, it's Michael Laidlaw. My phone number is from North Carolina, but I'm actually in the Atlanta area. So.
Oh, right. Hi, Michael.
Sorry
to
confuse.
Good to have you with us. Great.
Thank you so much for all that you're doing. I have several questions. For both, I have one for Mark and one for Anna, and then one that maybe both of you can address. And just to kind of give you a sense of where I'm coming from, my background is culinary, and when I was in school, I actually envisioned myself possibly going down the path of being a teacher. So all this stuff is really coming together to help me with all the different sort of skill sets that I feel like that I have. And it just seems like a perfect opportunity to bring all those together. So I did create a company called Good Food, Good Fuel, where I do try to help people incorporate healthy foods into their life. And then an extension of that, I want to do the vegan lifestyle. And I'm just finishing up, of course, with the facilitator training and can see myself down the road being a big part of that. So I guess the question, the first question I had for Mark and or Anna is, when you all first started your teaching, and Mark, I guess you kind of touched on this a little bit when you said you went chapter by chapter, because there seems like there's so much information in the book. I mean, sometimes it's overwhelming, but there's so much good stuff in there, you just don't know where to start sometimes. So is that really sort of where you started, was just chapter by chapter, or did you feel like there was an important thing that you wanted to focus on with the World Peace Diet in the beginning?
Well, in the beginning, we would take as I said, it was every 2 weeks, and we would go two chapters at a time. Two chapters at a time. So that way, it was kind of like a six-week series, and then it was so that by the end of it, we had gone through all the chapters. And that way that people could, they would have a couple weeks to read the chapters in between Some people would read them, some people wouldn't. It's actually one of the reasons why we've created the Becoming the Peace program, because we're looking for people who might not be willing to even go past the first chapter, which we would encounter sometimes. As you said, the depth of the information was so great in so many different ways that sometimes people just don't have the spiritual foundation to go any further. And at the same time, there were some people that just, they didn't read it, but they got a lot out of it just by attending. So, but we would go two chapters at a time. And, I know that I've seen other people do a chapter at a time over a longer period of time. Yet we found that this 6 weeks worked pretty well because, people could schedule things and within their busy lifestyle and attend most of them, where it was more was spread out, they tended to miss more weeks.
If you had people in the meetings that weren't really reading the subject matter, what can you give me a sense of what the meetings were like or the events were like? Was it you talking a lot, or was there some good back and forth between people, or was it mostly you?
That's a really good question, because I know a lot of people have been, as Will said, they would postulate or they would think, oh, I would love to do this, and then there was a lot of fear around it. Like, I'm not a Will Tuttle. How can I facilitate this?
Right.
We were very much, as the word says, facilitators. I would very much stay out of the process, so even if there was a question that was probably a question that I could answer,